All right. And Brother James, would you ask the blessing on our service? Amen. So notice, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn there, Ephesians chapter 4, and this was our text. The Bible says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, this is speaking, God's speaking to a church here, in the church at Ephesus, and he's saying that, you know, be careful as you communicate with each other. Why? Because you don't want to say things that are against the Word of God. You want to edify one another. And this is important for us as a church family, to say the right things, to do the right things. Why? Because you don't want to have corrupt communication proceeding from your mouth. Well, that's important for a church. Let me tell you about a family. It's very important for a family, because families make a church, right? And so we got to have peace at home, so we have peace in the church. Thank you. You may be seated. So I got to take care of this before we jump into this. First of all, we want to welcome everyone coming today, this afternoon, for the service. And you're visiting for the first time. I know James said this to you, but thank you so much for being here. We count it an honor and privilege. And then also, thank you for that delicious, nutritious meal we had today. Hot dogs, amen? I think it's great. I really do. I love our church. And did you say you have hot dogs? No way. No, I got to keep myself right before the day's over. Now, when I go home, I may have some hot dogs, but not now. So let's take care of some in-house. Oh, Ryan, if I could, can I meet with your family this afternoon, if you have time? Okay, thank you so much. So let's go to, I have page 2. But it's letter C, silence or cutting off the communication drives people apart. So if you're there, it'd be good. And I know you have 3 points underneath that. I only have 2. So again, we'll blame the secretary, right? And she's not here. So so number 1, silence or communication breakdown. This drives people apart. You've got to talk to each other, husband, wife, parents, children, brothers, sisters. You've got to keep the communication lines open. And let me tell you, you say, well, you know, it's been broken in our family. Well, then unbreak it, that's all. You know, you may not have communication, but you need to have communication. This is what life's about. This is, you know, what God made us to do. And you say, well, I'm the quiet type. Well, get over it. You know, don't be the quiet type. You know, learn to contribute to a conversation. There's many examples. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and they shall be one. And so if there's no communication or a shared ground, then the two are not one. So again, we'll look at this later on today, but the idea is that we need to have communication. You need to talk. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are talkers. And we'll deal with that also a little bit. But the thing is, we need to all communicate with each other. And the communication is just not verbal. It's also body language. You know, your face, facial expression, you know, what you're covering up or whatever it may be. You've got to be open and transparent with one another. And then number 2, a strange set of events very often occurs when we do not communicate with our mate. Problems are compounded. Matters are made worse. Divisions are made greater. So there's got to be an open communication with each other. We've got to talk. And again, you know, a family is made up of a husband and wife. And then it may be, you know, you're in a situation where, you know, you don't have a husband, you don't have a wife, you know, you have children. Well, then you got to have communication. And it's very important that we set the boundaries for that. So that takes care of that. I thought I did that, but I was told I didn't. Then letter E of, let's see here, Number two, the failure of communication leads to heartache and troubles. Failing to listen and destroy real communication. Then we get down to letter E in that section. They constantly interrupt or butt in to another person's statements. So that's a rule in our house. We're not to butt in. And, you know, we've all butted in one time or another, but the rule is we don't butt in. It's rude. And it doesn't matter how intense the other person is, you got to hold your tongue. Because one person's trying to express their thoughts, their feelings, whatever it may be. And you got to be patient if you're going to communicate. Now, if you want to just tell, then everyone just be quiet, just listen to her speak, or listen to him speak. Well, that's not communication. Communication is sharing your thoughts and ideas, your heart, your feelings, all these different things. So you've got to learn not to butt in. And you say, well, I could correct the whole thing if they just listen to me. You always say that. Again, it's your way or the highway. And that's not communication. Thank you, brother. All right, let's get to our text now where we left off. And we're looking at letter E. We'll start here, failing to totally honest in our communication. So we're failing to be totally honest. Now, first of all, number one is fabricating or telling lies. Let's grow up, folks. What are you lying about? You know, the Bible says that the devil in John chapter 8, verse 44, you got a father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. So we don't want to be a liar. And again, at this age, I'm talking about you guys right here. What are you lying for? What are parents, spouses lying for? Let's grow up. The Bible said, put away lying. Speak the truth one to another. Well, if I speak the truth, I'm going to get in trouble. Well, maybe you shouldn't have done it in the first place. And don't be ashamed of the truth. Speak the truth in love. Number two, not meaning what we say. Using ambiguous and misleading words and sentences. You know, that's a mental gymnastics. We'll not be that way. Speak the truth in love. And number three, listen to what the Bible says. And the Bible has much to say on this. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. And we look at chapter 26. Chapter 26, and we'll look at verse 28. And the Bible says in verse 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So there's two things. We're not to be dishonest when we speak, and we're not to be flattering. You know, oh, you're the greatest guy ever. You know, please, let's not flatter one another. Let's speak the truth. And if a person's, you know, ugly as a mud fence, don't say that to them. Speak the truth in love. You know? Oh, you're nice. Anyway, notice chapter 6 of Proverbs. Chapter 6. Again, we've got to be honest. Amen? Chapter 6 and verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed in its blood. So the Bible speaks about a lying tongue. Chapter 19, please. Chapter 19 and verse 5. And notice the Bible says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speak a lie shall not escape. So again, the idea, the Bible speaks about lying tongue. And you say, well, preacher, you know, I'm married to a man, I'm married to a woman who, you know, they're liars. Well, that's a whole different subject. We're not dealing with that. We're just speaking about communicating right now. And that's a different subject. I'd be more than happy to speak to you about that. But the idea is that we're not to lie to one another. You know, you're the one who said I do at the altar. You're the one who came forward, I love him, I love her, and so on. Now you're turning into liars? You know, lying is a means to cover up things. But, you know, again, the lying tongue is but for a moment. You may cover it up, but it's going to be revealed. Number four, don't hide the truth to save your skin or make it look better. Again, this is important. you know, you want to be careful. The first thing is do right. You won't have to come up with a lie. And you shouldn't come up with a lie. If you fall, you fail, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Letter F, failing to keep the point in communication. This is very important. Some people get real wordy. You got to get to the point. You know, don't beat around the bush. I'll tell you this. This is a fact. You go down south or Midwest, people take a day and a year and a day to go around the bush and just finally tell you something. I can tell, when I talk to certain people, I know the last thing they say to me is what they want to call me about. Last thing, they go, oh, this is done, and this has happened, no good, this is good. And one more thing I want to say. Oh, this is what you wanted to say. Well, get to the point. And I'm not speaking about being blunt. You would be gracious. But get to the point. So, again, we're speaking about being wordy. Number two, talking only about small, insignificant things, never communicating about real problems. So there's a thing. My wife and I, we've known each other for 44 years. We've been married. I've known her for 49 years. You said, what do you guys talk about? Well, we still talk. And there are times we do speak about things that are not important. But they're important to one another. We share thoughts and so on. But you don't want to just, get caught in insignificant conversation. You know, sometimes you talk about the weather. You know, our family does. We talk about the weather next week. It's going to be 60s, whatever. And that's great, you know. Oh, there's a snowstorm coming, you know. And it's fine. Then I go to the channel and just watch it myself. Anyway, that's... But the thought is this, that's fine in a conversation, but that should not be the bottom line of our whole conversation of the weather. You know, I like to believe we're going to go a little bit deeper in our lives, right? So we got to confront some problems. People never come forth with a genuine solution of plans. Number three, notice if you would, Proverbs chapter 10. Let's turn back there, please. Proverbs chapter 10. And notice, if you would, verse 19. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. And the Bible tells us in verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So the Bible tells us this. We need to contrast this with chapter 15 and notice verse 2. The Bible says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So we have to be very careful in our communication with each other. Not that we can't speak. My wife and I talk about anything and everything. There's no... hidden ideas or thoughts that we have that I know of. So anyway, we speak about everything. And you got to get to a place in your life, you may not be there right now, but you want to get to a place in life where you communicate freely. And my wife and I have had disagreements later on. You know how that goes, right? She makes things right. Just teasing. Number four, when there's not a just empty, meaningless talk over a period of time, others will tune you out. So again, we don't want to just be meaningless. We want to have a genuine conversation. Say, well, you know, in my situation, I don't have... Well, then get yourself a friend. And may I say this? You don't need if you're a female, you don't need a male friend. If you're a male, you don't need a girlfriend. You know, you don't want to do that stuff. I'm just telling you, it's wise. You know, we live in the Facebook generation, you know, where the walls have been brought low and people communicate with each other. And you wind up getting this. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people being unfaithful to their spouse by communicating on Facebook. It's wrong. You made a vow, keep your vow. So... Again, number five, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 19. Let's turn there, please. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 19, the Bible tells us in verse 14, chapter 14 and verse 19, the Bible says this, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So he's speaking about, you know, the gift of tongues. And Paul is saying that, you know, I'd rather speak five words that could be understood than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. I mean, how's that going to help you? So it shows us that few words of real meaning and substance is better than 1,000 words of small talk, and especially in a foreign language. I was over at someone's house the other day, and they started speaking Spanish to each other. I said, whoa. I said, I'm here. I don't speak Spanish. I want to hear English. So you said that? I sure did. Well, I don't want them speaking in tongues, right? All right, letter G, failure to believe what we're told. This is very important. Many times people are not willing to trust their spouse. All sorts of reasons. Don't always be suspicious. There's a great saying that my wife said, that speculation is the enemy of calm. And repeat that. Speculation is the enemy of calm. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let me just say this. The reason it's the enemy calm is because you're speculating. Is that the truth? I don't know. It may be. Oh, it may be. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to start worrying, fretting, wringing your hands, walking the hallways, you know, all this stuff, and you don't even know if it's true. So you don't want to speculate. Because all of a sudden, and women and men both do this, they start speculating, and that, you know what? I thought these things, I know. No, you don't know nothing. You don't know anything, because it's all speculation. And notice chapter 13, we see here in verse 7, the Bible says, verse 7, about love, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. So this is an attitude you should have. Now, I tell you right now, when I first got in the ministry, to my shame, I had a lot of speculation. And then when I started hearing what people say, no, that's not what happened. This would happen. I was speculating, and it wound up causing problems in my own life and then also in others. So I've learned, just as the Bible says here, he believeth all things, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Why? Believeth all things. You say, you think I'm stupid, preacher? No. But you're foolish for speculating. And I that was my attitude. My attitude was speculation. And lots of times people come back and tell me, no, that's not what happened. This is what happened. So after I was made a fool a couple of times, I learned, don't speculate. Why? Because it robbed me of calm. And you know what I'm talking about. Amen? So, again, if you really love your family, you'll learn to trust what they say unless there's evidence to prove otherwise. And so, again, that's so important. Now, letter H, failing to accept the truth rather than becoming angry. So there's no point, number one, no point being angry with one who speaks the truth to you. They didn't make you what you are. And it's not their fault. You because of the way you think. Again, this is false. We have to believe the truth. You say, well, I don't know. I think they may be lying. But you don't know they're lying. No, I don't. Okay, then believe what they're saying. And if they continually prove you to be wrong, then you put a question mark. People forfeit things. Say, well, the reason I don't believe them is they lie to me constantly. Well, they forfeit things. That's their fault, not yours. But until that happens, beloved, you know, just as much as they're lying, you've lied. So you got to be careful. Number two, fleshly reaction is to be angry and say something, you know, critical about that situation. And we're not to be that way. You know, be angry and sin not. Then notice if you would, Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, please. And we see chapter 14, verse 29. And the Bible says in verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalted folly. So again, the Bible tells us, Old Testament, New Testament, we're to be slow to wrath. Right away, people get blow up and angry right away. And you're angry over things that may not be true. So you got to have some wisdom there. Number four, when one gets angry at the truth, communication, reasoning breaks down, more trouble, and again, there's contention. It enters that conversation. Number five, one makes a mockery of themselves by becoming angry. Again, the Bible says you're not to be angry. Number six, when one fights back against those who speak the truth, it usually turns to a greater problem. So again, in this Proverbs 18, verse 6 and 7, and then also Proverbs 16, 32. So failing to make sure that you're understanding in our communication. Don't assume that everyone understands everything you say. And it's very important as a speaker because I know that people don't understand everything I say. And not only do I have to preach to the saved, but I've got to keep in mind I'm preaching to lost people. And lost people don't have the same understanding a saved person does. So I've got to, you know, speak to myself. I got to be careful. May I say this? If you're speaking to your spouse, I've done this before, where you assume that they understand what you're saying, and they don't. So you got to make sure that they understand what you're saying. Communicate. And, you know, again, make sure that you're understood. It's important to make sure that you're clear in your communication. Number one was the need to learn the fine art of real communication. Number two, the lack of communication leads to heartache and trouble. Number three, the conclusion in keeping the communication lines open. Letter A, always tell the truth. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, God says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So that's speaking out of the church, but it's very important in the family that we always tell the truth. Proverbs 12, verse 17, 19, and 22 speak about that. Number three, the best policy is always the truth because you never know how to change it. If you're not speaking the truth, you're not going to know how to change it. It's always better to tell the truth. Letter B, always speak with love and kindness. Now, when I was young, and I were married, right away we get a serious conversation, and right away voices start elevating. And, you know, not me, I was always meek and quiet, but my wife, oh boy, she let me have it. No, my voice raised, and my wife said, what are you getting so upset about? That's right, what am I getting so upset about? So you got to make sure you keep yourself under control. And you're not going to communicate if you start getting upset, whether male or female. So, always speak with love and kindness. It's hard correction, rebuke will not be received if it's not done in love and kindness. You know, kindness, it makes it desirable. Colossians chapter 4, let's turn over there. Colossians 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to you ought to answer every man. Now, I don't like to put salt on my food. I like the way it is. I like it, you know, whatever I'm eating. But when it comes down to fries, I'm telling you, I start, outside the snow is falling, and I like a lot of salt. But the idea here is that we need to flavor our speech. And the Bible says, season with salt, that we may know how to answer every man. So again, that's essential. Let us see. Have something to say when you speak. Just don't say anything. Have something to say. And don't, number one, don't just talk to break the silence. Have something concrete to say. And why would you do that? Because you're communicating. And your communication should not be just correction. Whether you're husband, wife, parent, or child, it should not just be correction. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 15, please. Proverbs 15, and we notice verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and the word is spoken in due season. How good is it? So again, we have to communicate with a purpose. Now you say, well, I don't have any purpose. I don't know how to communicate. Well, learn. Learn. Let me say this. If you saw a friend you hadn't seen for a while, you'd have a lot to say to them. But the problem, this is this, in a marriage, when things go south and the communication is not right, it's because of sin. S-I-N. And there need to be things made right in your marriage. You need to confess your fault one to another. Say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry the way I treated you. I'm sorry. Whatever it may be. And if you don't, the lines of communication are never going to open. So, we see Proverbs. I lost my place. Let me see here. All right, and then let's look at Proverbs also 15, verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So again, the mouth of fools. You don't want to be foolish. You want people to respect you. You want your wife to respect you. Then be a righteous man. Be a good man. Be a godly man. Don't worry about your wife. You do the right thing, she'll follow. Number three, a wise person will speak when it counts. Notice Proverbs chapter 17, please. Turn over a page. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. A friend loveth all time. The brother is born for adversity. Notice chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 3. And the Bible says in verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So again, the Bible speaks about having reservation about what you say. You say, preacher, you know, I'm just foolish. I'm not going to say anything. Well, that's foolish. Turn with me to Proverbs 17, notice verse 28. The Bible says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Now, again, we're not just to empty our heads. The whole concept is wrong. You want to have wisdom. You want to speak good words. You want to speak kind words, edifying words. So my husband, my wife won't. And that's fine. You do. You do the right thing. Because it's pleasing to God. Let a D speak only when it will be good. So don't speak for the sake of an answer. again, that's foolish, you know, to think I have to have the last word. No, you don't. Where does that say? What rule is that? I have to have the last word. No. The motivation is wrong. Number two, be careful what you say to family and friends and about them. Number three, don't be a gossip. And notice Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly. So let me tell you this. You know, people gossip, but it's wrong. It's wrong. And you may say, well, what's the big deal? I know I gossip and other people. Well, it's wrong. God says don't be a talebearer. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Well, what am I talking about? How about the Word of God? How about truth? That's a good idea, right? The idea of just gossiping, running people down, finding fault with people, speculating. No wonder your life's a mess. So you talking to me? I'm talking to you, talebearer. Finding fault with everyone, picking everyone apart. Well, come on. That life's more important than that. So you've got to be careful, beloved. Again, speak the truth in what? Love. And you gossiping is not out of love. It's out of pride. It's, revenge. I don't know what it is in your specific case. But it's not right. It's not according to the Scriptures. Number four, let the speech be for good and to help. Notice Proverbs chapter 12, please. See, one thing I noticed, preacher, you read a lot out of the book of Proverbs. We should. Chapter 12, verse 18. There is that speaking like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. See, it's important, beloved. I've learned this. I didn't arrive as a saved person like this. I've learned this. Again, the speech of a wise person, a person with understanding. You know, can I tell you this? I say with all sincerity, life is harsh at times. Life can bring you down. And, you know, I say this, people, and I'm not saying that we need to preach all messages being positive, but people come to church hurting. And that's why it's so important to receive truth from the pulpit. A lot of people carry burdens upon them. Well, the greatest burden is your sin. That's why we preach about the gospel, about salvation, about freedom from sin. But it's so important that we learn to speak with wisdom and blessing and encouraging. Don't be a flatterer. That's wrong. But you want to say things that are good to help people. Amen. I amen myself. I don't mind. All right. So, letter E, listen to and read your listener. I'm speaking about your spouse. Number one, make sure they understand you and are receiving what you're saying. Again, you know, you're speaking to your kids. You want to make sure they understand. Paul wanted the church in Corinth to tell them that they weren't understanding. They weren't reading Paul right. And it's very important. Number three, make sure you stay in tune with your audience. You know, if you have an audience, your wife, your husband, your children, that's an audience. Make sure you're making sense. Let F, be patient with the listener. Understand their weakness. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Notice Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible says, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, in what? Love. So we need to have a humble attitude as we're speaking to our spouse, our children, our parents. It's so important to have humility, lowliness, and meekness. And then letter G, think before you speak. Speak what is right. Not everything that comes to mind. Number two, don't say anything if it's not right or true. Letter H, don't get angry at the truth. There's something wrong with your heart if you get angry with the truth. It may be the word of God, or maybe someone speaking to you and they're telling you the truth. Don't be angry with it. Be thankful. It's hard, but be thankful. And then letter I, don't take the listener for granted. You know, I'll say this. Someone said one time, every person is my teacher. That's a good attitude to have. Now, some teach false doctrine. But you should be open to receive correction, receive instruction. Letter J, believe those who speak with you in good faith and good info. That's it. So I trust this was a help to you. Why? One thing we do, we communicate with each other. That's what we do. Or we don't communicate. And when you don't communicate, there's going to be a divide within your marriage, within your family. You've got to learn good communication. You've got to speak the truth in love. You know, the Bible says, let not corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but rather with the idea of edifying, building up. Just like the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, bring up your children. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So is it time for correction? Absolutely. But that should not be your whole ministry. I'm here to correct you. But rather, I'm here to build you up. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to say good things. I'm here to be positive. I'm here to help you. And that should be our attitude with our spouse, with our family, with our parents, with our friends, with church members. You just speak the truth in love. But the other thing is this, beloved, how important it is that you not only speak the truth in love, but that you're careful in what you say and how you say. Make sure God's leading you what to say. Amen. So I trust this was profitable. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the people who have listened and wrote down these things. And I pray that you help everyone to take heed to what the Bible says. The Bible is the truth. The Bible is the way. God gives us a manuscript and a stand to guide us, direct us in every facet of life. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. And Father, we pray that we'd apply the Word of God to our family, to our friends, to our church, and help us to be men and women with wisdom and a guidance. And we speak the truth in love. We would seek to build one another up, edify one another. Help us do that with our children, with our parents, with our spouses. I pray your richest blessing upon our church family. And Father, we pray this all in Jesus' name.